الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس، صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with the beautiful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said regarding this blessed day, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is this blessed day of Jumu'ah. And today is actually the last Friday and the last day of Jumu'ah of the Islamic year 1439. Today is the 26th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1439. In just a few days, we will reach the end of this year and we will be entering a new year. The year 1440 is at our doorstep. Now, whenever it's occasions like this, we all need to take the opportunity and seize the moment and do a self-internal audit of ourselves and of our iman in this world. By default, if we look at our lives, the nature of a human being is such that at some point or the other, every person is doing some sort of reflection. We're doing some sort of audit. It's either an audit of our business or at the end of the academic year, we sit back and we reflect over it when we look at our results. At the same time, what we also do is we also like to plan ahead. When it comes to business and it's the financial year end, then every person is sitting back and taking stock of their business. Are we running at a profit? And how much of losses have we incurred in this year? And the aim of every business for the year that's ahead is that how can we minimize our losses and how can we maximize our profits in the year? That's what's everybody's aim and objective when it comes to business. When it comes to academics, it's the same sort of mindset. Okay, these are my results for this year, but next year I want to try and do a little better. Wherever my shortfalls were, I need to work on that. I need to minimize that. That is part of our nature as human beings. And as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more so we supposed to have that sort of mindset. Allah gave us the privilege and honor of living so long in the world so far. Another year is coming to an end. So I am 50 years old, or I am 60 years old, or I am 70 years old, and even if I am 20 years old, Allah has given me so much of life that I have already lived. But what have I really done with this life that Allah has blessed me with? How much of profits have I accrued in my life so far in terms of my year after? And when it comes to losses, how much of losses are there so far in my life? Every one of us need to do the stock take. Every one of us need to do this internal audit, because we've lived for so long, but nobody knows how long more they are going to live in this world for. If we wind the clock back exactly 1 year to the 26th of Dhul-Hijjah 1438, and just look around us, look within our family circles, look within our friendship circles, look around us and you'll see and you'll notice there were people that you knew, there were people that you interacted with, there were people that perhaps were with you in life on the 26th of Dhul-Hijjah 1438. But yet those very same individuals perhaps spent the better part of the year 1439 beneath the surface of the earth as opposed to being above it. They spent most of the year away from this world. So nobody knows how long more they have to live in this world. That is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But an audit of ourselves, every one of us need to do it internally. We need to reflect, we need to ponder, we need to look at the state of our iman, we need to look at the state of our a'mal, our actions. Look at every part of your life and ask yourself that, am I improving as a believer? Am I drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I utilizing my life in this world in a constructive manner? This is a great opportunity that Allah gives us every day that the sun rises and every day that the sun sets, and we witness that. That is a privilege from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is another opportunity for us to try and maximize our profit, not only in this world. There's nothing wrong with maximizing your profit in the world, but it should never be at the expense of maximizing our profit in the year after. The greatest capital that we have is life and time in this world. There's no greater capital, and we need to utilize it in the most constructive manner, and we need to utilize it in the best manner, because these are favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will come to an end and will never be returned. We will never get a day back that we've lived in this world. We will never get a year back that we've lived in this world. That whatever has been lived has been already exhausted. Those funds are gone, and whatever is still ahead of us, we need to take advantage of it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the message for today, since we're talking about reflection, there's many of us that might be seated here. If we reflect over our lives, we'll know that we came from humble beginnings. When we look at where we started off in life and where we are right now, some people can't believe their luck in life. Some people would have never thought 30 years ago that they will be today where they are. It was only through the favor and the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah opened the doors, and Allah was kind to us and Allah was merciful to us. But then the question is that how much have we repaid back? And how kind are we to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Allah has been so kind to us? And we're going to go through a story that has been narrated by the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding three individuals of previous times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to test. Three people who were in a very difficult condition. Three people whose lives were absolutely miserable. You must remember the challenges that we face in life can be twofold. It's either external challenges or it's either internal challenges. It's either a person is suffering through sickness or it's either a person is suffering through financial trials and tribulations. So it's either you don't have good health, that's a great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a person has no money and is in debt, that's also a great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both combined upon an individual makes it even more complex and makes it even more difficult. All three of these individuals, both of them suffered when it came to sickness, both of them suffered when it came to wealth. They had both these challenges upon them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aradallahu ayyabtaliyahum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to test these three individuals. The first man that was challenged and was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was suffering throughout his entire life from the sickness of leprosy. His entire body was suffering from the sickness. His whole body was full of leprosy. Nobody could stand to look at him. He couldn't be near anybody. Now this was in a time where the sickness was something absolutely rare. It was perhaps the only individual at that time in that era that was suffering from this sickness. So people thought that's like a dreaded disease. If we go near him, it's going to be contagious. We're going to get sick. So everybody stayed miles away from this person because of the sickness that he was suffering. Financially, he had absolutely nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to this person in the form of a human being as a visitor. So this person comes to him and says, "Brother, how are you? How's life? Tell me, how's everything going?" And here this man starts pouring his heart out. And he says, "How can you ask me how's life? Can't you see my condition? Look at my skin. Look at the sickness that I'm suffering from. My life is absolutely miserable. Nobody wants to come near me. I can't interact with anybody. And then when you're talking about the rest of my life, I got no money. I can't even feed myself. I can't take care of myself. So don't ask about how's my life, because it's absolutely miserable. I'm depressed, I'm sad, I can't take it anymore." So then the angel asked this person, "To tell me, brother, what's your heart's desire? What's the thing that you wish for the most in life? Tell me." He starts engaging him. So the man replies and he said, "You know, The thing that I wish for the most is lawnun hasanun wa jildun hasanun. I wish that I never had the sickness. I wish that I had a good complexion and that my skin was normal and I never had the sickness and I never suffered from it. That's the thing that I wish for the most, that this problem must be taken away from me. So then the angel asks him, okay, tell me, when it comes to wealth, what is it that you would like to possess the most? If you had money, what you would have bought? What would you like to trade in? What commerce would you like to be indulging in? So the man replies and he said that if I had the money, then I would have loved to deal in camels. I would have bought and sold camels. That's the wealth that's most beloved to me. So then the angel passes his hand over this person and through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instantly he was cured from that sickness, miraculously, instantly, spontaneous, he was cured from his sickness. And then he presented to him a pregnant camel and he gives it to him and he says that may Allah bless you in this wealth, and he moves away and he goes away. A man who cannot believe his luck, in just a few moments, his entire fortune changed, his whole life changed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that through the blessings and the barakah and the dua of that angel, and through the kindness and mercy of Allah, this man, within a short span of time, he was a multi-millionaire. He had an entire valley of camels. He was given one camel, but there was so much of blessings in it that in a short time he became a very wealthy man. And he was living life to the best of his ability. He was enjoying life like he couldn't believe. There was no thought of where he had come from in life. He was in the pound seat, as they say. Now he was in business class. So we move on now to the second individual. This man that was also tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angel comes to him and says that, brother, how's life? Tell me, how's your condition? What's good? And then the man says, how can you ask this question? I'm suffering in life. Now the challenge that this person was suffering from is something that is not uncommon to us. But in the time and era that we're speaking about, this was something that was very uncommon. And why I'm mentioning that is because nobody should feel offended. Okay, the sickness that this person was suffering from wasn't really a sickness. He was bald. He had no hair. He was a young man that had no hair, not an elderly person. Old people sometimes, they take it as a source of pride. I worked hard in my life, that's how I lost all my hair. Some people attribute it to the stress maybe they had from their spouses, that's why they lost all their hair. But it's something that's common in our time. Now we're talking about a time where this was totally uncommon. The only man in the whole community, a young man, that had no hair on his head. So people looked at it as something strange. What is wrong with you? Is it a defect from birth? How come this person came out like that? How come he has no hair? So again, people stayed away from him. So the angel asks him that, how's life? And then he says that, look at my condition. I mean, I can't stand to look at myself. I got no hair on my head. And people are looking at me. People are mocking at me. It's like people can't stand to see me. So my condition is terrible. Financially, I have nothing. So the angel asks him the same question, that, brother, tell me, what is it that you wish for most in life? And he replies and he says, sha'run hasanun. I wish I had a good comb over. I wish I had good hair, healthy hair, that would make me look good as an individual. Nowadays, mashallah, there's some brothers that have figured out different ways to even get their hair back as well. So that's on a separate issue. So this person says that, I wish I had good hair. So then the angel asks him to tell me, what wealth would you like the most? He said, if I had the funds, if I had the ability, then I would like to trade in cattle. That's the wealth that is most beloved to me. So the angel passes his hand over this person, and through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, miracles do happen. Instantly this person was granted good hair by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he presented him with a pregnant animal, and he said, may Allah bless you in this wealth, and he went away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that within a short span of time, this man also, his entire life had taken a U-turn. Now he was also in the pound seat. He had a whole valley of cattle. He was dealing in big numbers. And now we move on to the third person. He was also tested by Allah. This was a blind man. There's no cure for blindness till today. So this man, Allah had deprived him of sight. So his life was difficult. His life was hard. And the angel came to him and asked him that, brother, tell me, how's life? How are you doing? How's your condition? And he responds and says that, look at me. I'm blind. I can't fend for myself. I have nobody to assist me. I have nobody to help me. My life is absolutely miserable. And the angel asks him to tell me, what is your heart's desire? He said, how I wish I could see the world. How I wish I could have had my sight restored and seen the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I could have been able to fend for myself. And I wouldn't be a burden upon the community. And then the angel asks him to tell me, what wealth is it that you love the most? And he said, the wealth that is most dear to me is al-ghanam. I like sheep. That is the wealth that I would like to possess. And the angel passes his hand over this person, and miraculously Allah instantly restored the sight of this person. And he was presented with a pregnant animal, and the angel said, may Allah bless you in this wealth, and he went away. And this man also, his fortune had changed. Now we're not talking about people who put in effort and within a few years, they suddenly struck gold and their fortunes changed. We are talking about people who instantly, within a few seconds, their whole lives had taken a U-turn. And sometimes success, when it comes too fast, it's a bit difficult to handle. We become ahead of ourselves. And we become overawed by that which we have right now. Now these people were enjoying life in the lap of luxury. From being in such difficult situations, from being depressed, from being sad, from being away from everybody. Now they were in everybody's attention. Everybody knew them. Everybody flocking around them. They couldn't believe their luck, how their lives had changed. But the sad part is that the lesson in this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is these individuals, they forgot where they came from in life. Now the question is, when we started off this narration, we said Allah intended to test them. But then the question that might run through our minds, that were they not been already tested? So where's the test? Because we said they were suffering from physical ailments, they had sickness, and they had financial difficulty. So our understanding is that these were great tests, that's how they were tested. And now the test is removed because they were cured, and Allah had changed their conditions. Where is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it over? Has it started? Has it ended? When is the test from Allah? Now is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also sometimes to correct our understanding. Because sometimes we have the misconception that only when something goes wrong in my life, that is when Allah is testing me. Only when somebody falls sick, that is only when Allah is testing me. Yes, that is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, that is not the only way that Allah tests. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. That is what Allah says in the Quran. Allah says that we will test you with adversity. We will test you with prosperity. How many people ever consider prosperity to be a genuine test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our understanding, when everything is going my way, Allah has been kind to me. It's Allah's favor, Allah's mercy. Allah has blessed me. Allah has blessed me. And then when something goes wrong, Allah has tested me. But little do we realize that when things are in our favor, Allah is testing me more than if things go against me. That's how we're supposed to be looking at things. Both are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the test starts. The test was not when they were sick. The test was not when they had financial difficulty. The test is now, when they are at the peak of their existence. Allah sends the very same angel in a totally different form, in a shabby condition, in a difficult condition, as a traveler. This angel comes and knocks at the door of the man who was once a leper, the man who was once a pauper, and he knocks at his door. The once upon a time leper opens the door, obviously now he's a good looking man with flawless skin, and then the angel starts to pour his heart out. And he says, brother, I'm a traveler that is traveling from a distant land. All my provisions have been exhausted on my journey. I'm in a desperate, difficult situation. And I've come to your door, and I'm asking you in the name of that Allah that has blessed you with such a flawless complexion, in the name of that Allah who has blessed you with so much of wealth that I see at your doorstep. Today I only have you to assist me and Allah's mercy. So I'm asking you in the name of Allah, could you kindly spare me just one camel so that I may continue my journey? I would have enough provision and I will reach my destination. A man who had thousands of camels, a whole valley of camels, he was only asked for one. What do you think was the response of this man? The man looks at the angel and he says, brother, things are very tight this month, man. Hey, it's been a bad month. I wish I could have helped you, but hey, not now, man. Come some other time, inshallah, maybe I'll help you. But right now, things are very, very, very bad. I can't help you now. I would have loved to help you, but right now, this is not the best time. So then the angel tries to engage the man a little further, tries to jog his memory. Then he says, "Ka'anni a'rifuka." Says, "Brother, have we met before? You look very familiar." So then the man says, no, I've never met you in my life. I can't recall ever seeing you. So then the angel says again that, "Brother, were you not a person who was once upon a time, you were the once upon a time leper, you had no money, your life was very difficult, you had a lot of problems, you were depressed. Are you not the same man?" So this man looks at the angel and confidently he says, "Brother, I don't know what you're talking about. Me a leper? No, never. I was born with the skin. Me poor? No ways. This wealth that you see outside here, that's come from generation to generation. It's all my inheritance. So I don't know who you're referring to. I think you're mistaking me with someone else." So then the angel says to him that, "Brother, if what you say is true, then may Allah restore you to your former condition." And he moved away and he went away. And then he goes to the man who was once upon a time also in a difficult condition, the man with no hair, and he knocks at his door. And the man opens the door, the angel gives the same story, and he says, "I'm a traveler, all my provisions have been exhausted. Today I only have hope in Allah, and I'm hoping that you will assist me. Please spare me just one animal so that I may continue my journey." And this man gives the same response, "Brother, I wish I could have helped you, but not right now. Things are very tight. At the moment, everybody is worried about the economy. We're looking at the fluctuations of the currencies, etc. So maybe things are tight right now, but that is a common sentiment that sometimes businessmen share. Things are tight. But the question is that when are things tight? Is it tight for us, or is it only tight in certain instances? That is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the man says, "But you look familiar. I think I know you. Were you not a person who was once upon a time bald, who was once upon a time poor?" This man says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I think you're mistaken me with someone else. I was born with this hair. I was born with this wealth." People forget sometimes where they've come from in life. We become so obsessed, we become so in love with the prosperity that Allah has blessed us with, that we forget where we came from once upon a time. And we should never forget. Yes, we praise and thank Allah for where we are now. And we make dua that Allah secured the goodness that He has blessed us with. And may Allah increase us in goodness. But we should never forget where we came from. So the angel responds and says that if what you're saying is true, may Allah restore you to your former condition. And then he goes to the third man who was once upon a time blind. And he gives him the same story and he says, "My provisions have been exhausted. I'm asking you in the name of Allah that has blessed you, give me one sheep so that I can continue my journey." And look at the response of the third man. He said, "You asked me in the name of that Allah that has blessed me. Because you've asked me in the name of that Allah, you requested one animal. I'm telling you, take as many as you need and leave that which you don't need. Because Allah has been extremely kind to me. Once upon a time I was blind. Once upon a time I was poor. And Allah blessed me with my sight. And Allah blessed me with wealth. So today take whatever you need. Because you asked me in the name of that Allah that was so kind to me. How can I not be kind to you?" And then the angel responds and says, "Brother, Allah doesn't want any of your wealth. Allah only wanted to test you, and Allah tested the other two individuals. And unfortunately, those two individuals failed the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have been restored to their former condition. The man that was once upon a time a leper is now a leper again. The man who was once upon a time bald is now bald again. All their wealth has been taken away from them. But what Allah has blessed you with will remain with you because you have passed the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we come into the end of a year. It's a time of reflection. Allah has blessed us. Allah has been kind to us. The question is, how kind have we been back to Allah? The question is, how much have we answered the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of in what form that call comes? We're supposed to be ever ready to be kind back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're supposed to be ever ready to do as much as we can out of gratefulness to Allah for all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And in this regard, when it comes to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when it comes to the invitation of deen, alhamdulillah, I'm sure we all aware that the ijtima will be taking place in 2 weeks' time, inshallah, not far away from the city of Durban. Just half an hour's drive in the town of Pietermaritzburg. They call it the Sleepy Hollow, but inshallah, through the blessings of the Ijtima, we will be wide awake inshallah, and we will be hosting the Ijtima. And today, mashallah, there's a group of ulama that have come from Pietermaritzburg, visiting the different masajid in Durban, to extend a personal invitation to each and every one of you to attend this Ijtima that will be taking place on the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th of September. And in the build-up to this Ijtima and this great gathering, since Durban is just around the corner from Pietermaritzburg, we can also avail ourselves, inshallah, and come and visit the site and render whatever assistance is needed, if and when it's required. But we should come, inshallah, it's not far away. But when the Ijtima itself comes, let us try and avail ourselves. As I said, Allah has been kind to us. The question is, how kind have we been to Allah? And how ready are we to accept a call and an invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is an invitation that we've come to extend to all our brothers. They say personal invitations are the best one. So we're not sending out a card, and it's not an e-invite. We here personally, inshallah, to extend an invitation to every one of you. And we should also be spreading the message to others as well to attend the Ijtima. This is a great gathering that we need to attend for our benefit. This is a great gathering that we need to attend because this is something that the Ummah desperately needs. When believers gather in their numbers, this draws the help and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When believers gather in their numbers, this is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over the years, we've seen so many amazing things that come out just from the process of hosting and going through the process of an Ijtima taking place. People do things that they don't normally do. It goes totally against the norm of so many individuals. I always give this examples when we come in close to the Ijtima and we ask to speak a little bit about the many benefits that a gathering such as an Ijtima brings about in a community and in a place. I say that people who don't lift a spoon ordinarily in their own homes are the same people that will be sitting there right by the degs in the Ijtima. Subhanallah. Why are they doing it? Only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who perhaps in their whole life have never picked up behind themselves in their own homes, and we don't clean up our own homes, they're the ones in the Ijtima that are in charge of garbage collection. Why are they doing it? Only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such characteristics come about that are not ordinary, that are not normally found in individuals. But here they're doing it for what reason? They're not getting paid for it. They're not getting recognized for their efforts. They're doing it solely to please Allah. People who Allah has blessed with immense wealth, they in the plumbing jamaat, they cleaning the sewer in the Ijtima, subhanallah. Why are they doing it? Only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we come together as believers, this aspect of unity becomes manifest for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we united, this draws the help and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to every person that is intending to visit the Ijtima for the entire duration and to spend time there, make it one point. This is another great opportunity. And in fact, wherever we are and we see other believers, make one habit in your life. Make salam to as many people as you possibly can. This again is a reward for absolutely free. You will get an opportunity to greet so many fellow believers. They will respond to your salam. You will be getting the du'as of so many individuals. So far, work has already started on the site, and Allah has given me the tawfiq that I've put this into practice myself, and I find it amazing. I go there every night, and all you do is greet people. Reward for free, sawab for free, an action that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't have to necessarily only wait for the Ijtima. Right now in this masjid, how many people there are? Make it a point of trying to greet as many people as you can in fulfilling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we will have the presence of the ulama. We will have the presence of elderly people, people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows through their piety, through their goodness, Allah will be merciful and kind to us as individuals. These events and Ijtimas that have taken place have been the stepping stone for many people to change their lives. It has been the turning point in many individuals' lives. Who knows, this could be an opportunity for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to benefit from such a great gathering. If anybody misses out, nobody can explain to you what a great loss it is. And as I said, we have no guarantees of anything. We have no guarantees of life. Nobody knows whether they're going to see tomorrow. But inshallah, let us all make a firm and sincere intention that we will try and attend this Ijtima for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we make an intention that we will benefit from such a wonderful gathering that will be taking place inshallah. وآخر دعوانا للحمد Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.